Pro Football Focus came out with their 101 best college football players entering 2016. Four names from the MAC made the list: Corey Davis, Jamal Marcus, DeJuan Rogers, and Nate Holley.
The MAC holds notable NCAA rushing records. Most notably, Travis Prentice in the late 90s had 862 straight carries without a fumble.
Welcome to Tuesday Night Lights. Welcome to Tuesday Night Lights, Hustle Belt's MAC Football Sided Podcast. I'm Alex Alvarado, your host, and with me, like always, is Brandon Fitzsimons. Brandon, what's your favorite sports movie?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with Miracle.
Miracle, that's the one with the hockey, the one.
That's hockey,
with
the, I know you probably haven't seen it.
I've seen Miracle a lot of times, actually. That's really good. Not weird. Like I don't like hockey, but it's a damn good movie.
Yeah, but I feel like if you don't like hockey, you can't get in. I don't know.
I mean, there's, because that one has a whole sense of nationalism and all that stuff that goes along with it.
True.
And like, it, I don't think it goes into.
I feel like it's the one hockey moment that every person can really relate to. Just because of,
yeah,
right, of the nationalism.
Mm-hmm. And there was the whole thing with Russia and all that, USSR and all that crap.
Yeah, nationalism.
World history. Yeah. Yeah, the whole, yeah, there's like a whole world history with it, which I feel like if they revisited that, not they, like the people that made it, but if a group revisited that topic and made it into a film, I'd like to know a little bit more context about it. Like, even if it's not in documentary form, if it were just, like, very theatrical about it, it would,
well, I know,
like, it could still be informative and fun.
I know that ESPN did a 30 for 30 on the Soviet team from those games, so I haven't finished it, and it's mostly in Russian, so you have to use, you know, read a lot of captions, but it was pretty good.
I recently had to basically introduce Sandlot in its entirety to my roommate.
Oh my goodness, Sandlot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's classic.
Oh, that is a good
because his parents are both from China, and they had him and his older sister in Canada, where they both furthered their educations, and so they had kids there, so they kind of like grew up and were raised in Canada, in Toronto, in like the Toronto area, and then they moved to like Canton, Michigan when he was like 8th grade or entering high school, somewhere in that area, and like sports were like never really a thing for him, and like he's heard people say "You're killing me, Smalls," and all that, but when, but like at that scene where, like in the scenes where they're like "You're killing me, Smalls," when he was like, "Who's the great Bambino?" at that part, and he said "You're killing me, Smalls," and the part where they're in the tree house, and he teaches them how to make a s'mores. And when the kid says "forever," when Squint says that, he keeps turning to me. He was like, "Oh, that's what this is from? Oh, that's what this is from?" I'm like, "Dude, yeah, this is where it's all from." So it was his moment of assimilating to America after being here legally for years. I guess
Sandlot is a good one. It's quite memorable. I think also you could put a lot of baseball movies on top of another one that I like. I feel it's a little underrated. Tin Cup. That was golf related, but
yeah, I've never seen that. I still haven't seen Caddyshack. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me.
Oh, Caddyshack is a good one. Oh, I don't know if it's got golf around it, but It's hard for me to relate it back to a sports movie.
I think, have you seen Friday Night Lights? Because that was probably my favorite throughout high school.
Haven't seen it.
I think...
Any Given Sunday? I haven't seen it.
Which one is Any Given Sunday?
Pacino.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good one. But Friday Night Lights might have the best man cry in film history. There's a part where, like, do you kind of, like, know the story in the movie form? Because the book...
No.
The book is more...
I haven't seen the book, the show, the film. Yeah, I haven't seen any of it.
I think I sold the book away a while ago, but the book is, like... It draws more attention to the story of the city itself, and it's more racially divided and all that stuff in the 80s. You know, Texas. But the movie kind of paints a little light on the racial diversions, but not too much. But basically, hotshot running back Boobie Miles busts his knee twice in his senior season when he was supposed to be, like, the shit. And, you know, realizes that his future in football has come to a complete halt. And then there's one scene later where he goes back in to clean out his locker. And, like, the guys are just kind of looking at him, like, distantly and, like, are pretty sad about it. But at the same time, they, like, have to prepare for playoffs and all that stuff. And he's cleaning out his locker. And he says his goodbyes, and he's all cocky as usual about it. And he comes back into the car, and then it's his uncle that's waiting for him that drives him everywhere. And he goes into the car, and he just lets it all out and just is so sad. And it's just so... It hurts, man. It hurts to watch. It's a good cry. It's a real good cry. Like I look at that, I'm like, you know, I kind of need to cry right now, too.
Yeah, man.
Follow us on Twitter at Hustlebelt. Join our Facebook group, Tuesday Night Lights Podcast. Just, you know, type that into the search bar and request to join us, and we'll hang out with you. And just, you know, I'm posting some articles here and there that I may find on ESPN. I might have to post at the very, very, very beginning of the show that... You know, I talked about the Pro Football Focus. I might have to include a link to that into the group, too, so we can have discussions on there. But, yeah, feel free to, you know, chime in, start discussions. Let's keep it going. Like, you know, there's a lot of Mac fans out there. We need to communicate on different mediums. So, yeah, join that. Also, you can email us questions or comments or whatever, have it at hustlebeltblog@gmail.com. Give us some questions in our hustle bag, even if we don't get to them now, even if we haven't gotten to them before, doesn't mean that we won't answer them later. You know,
if they're football related.
Right, yeah. Yeah, like, we've had really good questions come in. This episode, we're not going to, you know, tackle on any, but we will get to, hopefully, a couple of them later. But either way, they're appreciated. Just, you know, keep submitting. Just don't be discouraged by your question not being asked. Like, literally, it's good. This is... Keep coming in, because I really like some of the questions that we're not getting to, but I would like to bring them up later, because there's been some good one asks. Both from people that are on Hustle Belt or just community members. I shouldn't say just community members, because that feels like that's... Like, I'm looking down on you, but really, we already know that you're less than me. So, there's been a couple things of news as of very recent, and we're not going to harp too much on them right now, but I feel like we should start with the bad news. Zerlin Tipton, 26 years old, former running back for Central Michigan, former running back for Indianapolis Colts. Was killed by a gunshot today in Roseville, Michigan. Today's June 28th. Apparently, I've I've only read a couple articles of it. It looked like there was a couple of guns in a duffel bag that he had mishandled and shot and killed him. And that really sucks, man. There's nothing good out of that. That's just tragedy written all over it. You know, this is one of those times where, the advocates of stay out of the comments section, like, don't read the comments section. This is a good time to not read the comments section, because there are some really nasty people out there, and you really don't need to indulge yourself in the negativity from interneters at a time like this, because this is very, very, very sad for, you know, a young man like him to, you know. As far as most of us know, we really recognize him for his football performances, but, you know, I will do my part and assume that he was a great guy to his friends and family. Certainly there are people that love him, and he will definitely be missed by communities of Central Michigan, of Indianapolis, of football fans, of Maction fans, of his friends and family. Yeah, it's just not something that really anybody wanted to read at all. But Fitz, you have a Zerlin memory that pertains to football, because you saw him in a game that you were really impressed by.
I mean, I went to Western, and obviously you're raised to hate Central. But Zerline was always the one player, other than Titus Davis, especially once Corey got here, that you really just watched and you were in awe always. And he had a great junior year. Western was able to beat him that year, though. His senior year, he gets hurt a good majority of the season. I think he came back first game against Eastern on senior day. And then just had a monster game against Western as well. And, you know, his final game in a Chippewa uniform, he had 114 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a close win. Capped off a bad year for Western, but, I mean, he put on a show when, like I said, he spent most of the year hurt. He was expected to do great things. I mean, he was such a powerful back. But he had crazy agility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad to hear this thing happen. And from everything I've been reading, he was in good spirits on his way to the hospital. So I don't know what happened between now and then, but it's a tragic accident.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the same, like, not that like all this, I don't know, like, the rest of it doesn't really matter, I guess, but, like, it's same day as Pat Summitt, as Buddy Ryan, those two, one is,
things happen in threes.
God, yeah, and, like, I mean, you just hate talking about people dying consistently, but, it's just sad, and, like, I mean, obviously, for those that go on to talk about it, life goes on, but it's definitely a sad moment. I have warm wishes and hopes for, people that are truly, truly suffering through losses like this, because that just sucks, man. It just sucks. Like, that's all you can really say, I guess.
Too young.
That was the thing that I wanted to bring up. Does that kind of, like, hit home for you, too, in that sense? Because I'm 24, you're 25, 24, 25, 28?
Yeah, I mean, he's 26, so it really hadn't hit home until you just said it. But, you're right, it would be like one of us. And it's just sad, very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like certainly, like when I think about dying at a certain age like that, like it hurts a lot more when you talk about health issues, because then you really start like thinking about your conscious as you go through life, like if you like what you eat and how you live your life and this, that, and the other, like things that can directly affect your body and its development and all that stuff and how it works. But this is just a gunshot from a bag that was mishandled.
Oh.
Like, obviously, like, you know, the way I eat's not going to change because of that, but, you know, it's a different realization. But, like, the fact that it's a 26-year-old that I watched play college football while I was in college, that's... ugh.
Yeah.
It feels like one of us, you know? That's, like, just that same era. I don't know. Is this a good time to move on?
Yeah, I feel... I mean... Yeah. I don't know how we follow that up, but...
Yeah, but... I'm sorry for the hurting communities, really. So on the good, on better news, Buffalo and Miami, they got some new unis. I know you haven't really had
Buffalo's
too much
of a chance. Today.
Yeah, Buffalo's came out today. Miami's was yesterday, was it? Yeah, because yesterday was the 27th.
I've been hearing all about their redemption or whatever they've been trying to advertise down there.
Well, they're trying to redeem themselves and really redo everything that they've done. I don't think too many teams should be too scared. I'm trying to like make red into all caps like any way possible right now and have it show my voice. But Miami's been building up a lot of hype for it as of recent, because it's deserved. Like, when you scrap away those garbage uniforms and helmets that they had, it's really important to, you know, point out the fact that those are going away and something cleaner is coming in.
Miami looks like they're going back to the roots a little bit, and I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, just like... it's not unsexy, that's for sure. It's just like kind of simpler, I guess. Like, you don't have to be too weird about your uniforms to be good. Like those, like the barbed wire thunder or lightning patterns that they had for the helmets and on the shoulder pads, they were just, I mean, they were something different, but they just didn't work for me at all. And I like I'm looking at one set right now where like the helmet is kind of two-tone, where it's like red on top, but like it fades like,
oh yeah,
down to white, like beneath the ear holes and closer to the jaws and chin.
Right.
Yeah, that's like one thing. Like one helmet's like all white. It says Red Hawks right on the back where the nameplate is. I mean, it looks really cool, and you like that's not bad. So that's really good. I like it. I like it a lot. You know, it's not too crazy. Like the line for the home uniforms, red tops, white bottoms. It's just like a white line to go across the shoulders, like up through like through the neck and down. It's just like a white line with a Miami M on the shoulders. Looks really good. So well done, Miami.
As good as Miami's were, I like Buffalo's a little bit more.
Buffalo's is sexy. Oh my god.
Very sexy. I love the alternative black, actually. I love a smoke helmet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what the recruits want to see.
And then that bull logo.
Yeah, the bull logo is cool. I mean, you'd think that Derrick Rose is going to play quarterback for them. But the bull logo looks really, really cool, and they still have another helmet where it says UB. Remember the...
And the UB even has a nice two-tone to it. It starts out black, ends up blue. as you, you know, you go through the U and come to mm-hmm. the B.
You remember those, I think they were playing Florida Atlantic, and it was the last season, and Buffalo put out the white helmets that they were wearing, and it had the like the metallic bull logo on it. I thought those were really cool, and I would, I mean, that's probably not coming back because the logo itself changed. But I remember that being cool. I love white helmets. White helmets are one of my favorites in football. Like, it's hard to go wrong with those. It really is. And they really nailed it. It helps that they have a simple color scheme where black looks cool. If they would have done like a gray, it would have looked cool. White and black both look cool with the blue. Because like it's just not like it's not too dark where like you couldn't see it in the black, and it's not too bright where it would hurt in the white. So it just looks really cool, and it's mm-hmm. again like simple. Like there's something a little bit different about it. Like the all black, that set looks that's the hotness right there. So I love both of those. So good job, Miami and Buffalo. Like. Who would have thought that Miami and Buffalo would have had wins?
Very good job.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Who would have thought that they would have won in June, July? But they did. You proved me wrong.
Not sure.
Last little droplet before we get to our major thing. Last week, we talked about it from a hustle bag answer. Jordan Reinard, he asked us if divisions are worth scrapping. We both kind of said yes, and we were both like, hey, we should have an article about it. Well, I came out with it because on Sundays I write a football thing, which is a new thing that I'm doing. Like, I was kind of decided a couple weeks ago that I would start doing it, but I'm doing it. And so a couple days ago, it was published, and I created, you know, quite literally exactly what we said, except it's just all in writing, and you can see the rotation. You have a visual for what the rotations of the schedules would look like, and, like, how it makes sense, and, like, you know, I kind of, like, there's, like, the first table that I put out in the article, it shows what Eastern Michigan's schedule could look like from 2016 to 2021. And you see a fair amount of games being played against each team with the rotation, all that stuff. And I think it kind of looks cool. I like the way it came out. The hard part was trying to figure out the second guaranteed opponents, which I've decided... which really, it's only five games, which I have to decide which would stay every year. And the five that I picked were Akron, Ohio, NIU Toledo, Buffalo, Kent State, Buffalo, Miami. So they both get to try out their new unis. Really, they could just do like a black and white game. That'd be kind of cool. And Ball State versus Bowling Green.
I mean, you're right. We did hit on it last week. And, you know, putting it out and writing... to really see the kind of schedule that each team would get. I mean, it really does look a lot more balanced. Especially if you're a West team. If you're an East team, it gets a little bit harder, but at the same time, you know, Akron draws Ball State, EMU, Miami in one bin, and you know, either BGSU, CMU, Toledo in the other, or Buffalo, NIU, WMU. So then, you know, half mm-hmm. of that schedule is relatively easy in most years. The other half of that bin is relatively tough, but then Akron suddenly has a shot versus saying, well, only one East team will make it, one West team. Now, really, anyone has a shot. And I think that's really what would be best for the entire conference is to put your best teams out there with, you know, sometimes the best record you can get. So if NIU and Toledo don't play 1 year, they can end up in the championship. Although they could still, if they, even if they played each other and finished 7-1, 8-0. But yeah, I mean, each school really only has two rivals tops, and then.
And I don't. One thing that I didn't want to do was, like, with the guaranteed opponents and the lack of rivalries, like, there's the very obvious need to create two guaranteed opponents for each school. Like Buffalo, they don't really have a rivalry at all. And that's just not me saying it. That's echoed at Bull Run, at the Buffalo blog. Like, they don't feel like they don't have any rivals. Like, they hate schools. Like, one commenter said that they hate Ohio, but I'm assuming that's mostly because of basketball. And sure, they hate Ohio, but they should hate every school. They should hate 11 schools, but they don't have a rival. So the two that I picked were Kent State and Miami. Kent State's really, really close. Miami just kind of worked out. But, and I, like, again, to that point, but, like, I didn't want to force a rivalry on anybody. I didn't think that would be fair. But the two that, I guess, like, the other three games, like, could be making a rivalry. I don't know if Ball State and Bowling Green consider themselves rivals from the late 70s to 96, because they played each other every year for, like, 15 years or whatever that is, 16 years, how many years. Akron, Ohio, like, that's more of a basketball thing, but if it benefits the whole conference to where, you know, sure, it's more of a basketball rivalry than anything, I don't see why they couldn't bring the basketball hatred into football. NIU Toledo, they're not a rivalry, but lately they've been getting under each other's skin. Why break up a good thing? So you kind of keep it at that. And that's always a good game. So why divorce it? So that's kind of where I'm. Would you have altered it any other way, I guess?
I mean, I think I probably would have put a couple teams closer. Akron, Ohio, being a good basketball rivalry, not just sure about football, but it, you know, I could see that, and I totally agree with NIU Toledo. It's really been a nice budding rivalry, and then you just got to go, what is it, across I-80 to get to each other, so.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo was just the hardest because you had to pick two schools. I think Kent State was the easier one. You know, you hit on it with proximity. There was also the incident, what was it, 2 years ago where Kent State got...
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Caught in a
snowstorm.
Winter storm, and Buffalo could have gotten bowl eligible and didn't. So
that's I forgot about that. That's a good point.
So, I mean, other than that, I think I also had Ball State and Miami because they're fairly close. But, you know, it can go a lot of ways. I think protecting the Akron-Ohio basketball rivalry into football would be, you know, would be a nice touch. Keeping NIU-Toledo would be nice. And then seeing if Buffalo and Kent State can continue to hate each other. And even that's a nice basketball rivalry right now.
Yeah, and like, yeah, so really what I was left with was dealing with Ball State, Bowling Green, Buffalo, and Miami. So, like, just like juggling those four, like trying to make two games out of that. But, yeah, so watch out on Sunday for a quarterback post, which was way too damn long, but it was a lot of fun. I know Fitz hasn't looked at it yet, but hopefully he will. A lot of it has to do with a lot of returning quarterbacks. Like Buffalo's going to be like the only one that has like a quarterback that hasn't started for them yet. So And experience doesn't really matter all too much unless you're really good, but experience matters some, I guess. I don't know. We can talk about that later. But our main topic, now that we're like a half hour in, I finished OJ Made in America, all five parts. I finished that. When did I tell you? Was it like last week on the show that I said that I finished it?
I think so, and I said I was going to watch it.
Yeah, and then you said that you were going to text me, and I said, please do. And you followed through on that, and I was very happy.
I did follow through on it. I texted you at 2:30 in the morning when I finished part 5, because I couldn't sleep.
I was asleep.
I knew you were, but I still had to do it.
Did you? Yeah.
That was amazing. That was...
So you loved it. That's what you're saying. You loved it?
I loved it, yeah.
Oh, man. And, like...
I told my girlfriend about it, and I was like, if you want to watch it, it's 10 hours long. And she gave me one of the dirtiest looks I've ever seen. Like,
it's not 10 hours. It's like...
Well, it's 10 hours with commercials, and then you kind of have to go through. Either way, it's still quite a long...
It takes a while, yeah. Watch.
But it was really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah.
yeah, I told my girlfriend about it recently, too. And I told her, like, how much I thought it was so crazy. And so she asked me about it, and I kind of told her, you know, basically the prologue and the fallout of and everything in between about it. So when we drive to New York, I think we're probably just going to, like, have it on my phone, because we're going to, like, listen to music and audiobooks and podcasts on the drive from Michigan to New York. And she's actually, like, genuinely curious about it, because she's interested in not so much the game aspect of sports, but, you know, something that's just, like, more humane about, that comes from sports, like those stories like this, she has some interest in. So we might just put that on and, like, really just listen to the audio of it, because that's, you know, like, she can watch it on the phone. I have to have two hands on the wheel, but... So we might do that. But that got me to thinking, and we don't have to think about it in five parts, but the Mac is not really seen in documentaries. There's the Randy Moss one. There's that 30 for 30. But what are some cool topics that could be made into a sports documentary, or just a documentary at all, really? That comes from the Maction. I texted you about this hours ago, and I think we both got sidetracked. But we both might have a couple of ideas. And even if, you know, because really, we watch documentaries because we want to be informed about something else, but not too far away from what we like most. We like feature stories. Sometimes we don't have the care to read an entire thing, you know? Like, if it's going to take us over an hour to read something for whatever reason, we might not give it the time that it deserves. But we sure as hell will sit through five parts of OJ. And the Mac has some cool stories out there that, even if it was like a 30-minute thing or an hour-long thing, some of them can even be 2 hours long if it's worth it. We would think it'd be kind of cool. What's an idea that you had that would be an entertaining and cool documentary that you would at least give it a try?
I almost think it would be Jordan Lynch, you know, mostly focusing on his Heisman run in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is because NIU also was, you know, they were coming off their Orange Bowl run, they were undefeated going into the MAC championship that year. NIU put a lot of marketing into, you know, getting him as close to it, you know, as best a Heisman bid as you could get.
Mm-hmm, the hard way.
And what did he finish? Third in the voting?
Something like that, yeah. And then I know Jameis won it that year.
And, I mean, it was... And towards the end, if he had won the MAC championship, I think a lot of things would have been different. Obviously, losing it hurt him a lot, but I know he was on a lot of people's radars heading into the conference title weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameis won it. He turned out to be pretty good, kind of. That whole story, that whole season, the heartbreak of the championship game, I feel like that'd be a really good documentary, a nice 30 for 30. And you can even include the year before because, you know, MAC team goes to the Orange Bowl.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But, I mean, that... Either story would be good.
Yeah, I'd probably watch something with that. Jordan Lynch, obviously a very telling character. Almost finished his final season with 2,000 and 2,000 through the air on the ground. Anytime... Like people love Maction, especially when there's one player totally worth rooting for. And Jordan Lynch just easily, like, filled people's dirty pleasures with that across the nation. Really athletic. He flipped Jonathan Newsome that one time.
I remember him bowling over an Akron defender, and it was a Florida State transfer. It was incredible.
Yeah, and you know, like, NIU was so successful, and probably like the best part about that was that NIU was not always so successful. If you look really deep into our archives a couple years ago, a former writer on Hustle Belt, Corey Gore, wrote, "It wasn't always this way." And he talked about how in the 90s, NIU wasn't what you know NIU to be. In the early 2000s, NIU wasn't what you know NIU to be now. You know, so sort of like everyone likes the not always good, now they're good, that story. And NIU fit that. And Jordan Lynch was a fantastic athlete that was nationally known, nationally recognized. Sure, he didn't end up getting a real career in the NFL. I mean, the NFL thing didn't really pan out for him. I know the Bears brought him on to be a running back, and it didn't pan out. But he ended up getting a game-winning touchdown in the Grey Cup final, like the championship game in the CFL. And that is so awesome. So, Jordan Lynch... you know, him and NIU, they both work so well together to be a pretty interesting tale, and something that I would definitely give them the time of day. Like, a casual MAC fan certainly would. I don't see why most people that just like football wouldn't think the same thing. One idea that I had was about a topic that I'm too ignorant of is the Kent State shooting in 1970, which is the same year Nick Saban was a freshman with the Golden Flashes. I don't really know too much about it. I just know that there was a student protest at the university. A couple kids got shot and killed, and that by the Ohio National Guard. And that's not cool. And there's obviously like a lot there. We just don't really talk about it in a large scale. Like, I'm sure people in Kent State talk about it here and there and have stories shared around. Probably get to see more photographs than just the one of the one lady who's kneeling before someone that was killed. There's like one famous photo of that. they probably see more than just that. They probably get to hear reactions from people that were actually there. So, I don't know. But I don't think it's known too much about what happened. I don't know. I'm sure. I know what happened. I just don't know what happened.
What led to it.
Mm-hmm. And, like, why and what came out after that. I don't know. And I know, like, Nick's, like, I think Nick Saban talks about it here and there, like, at Kent State. And I think that the Alabama blog put this out a couple months ago, and I never got the chance to read it, or when I did have the chance, I just forgot and did something else. But I know that recently there was a tornado of sorts that ran through Alabama and hurt Tuscaloosa, and Kent State students went to Alabama to help them out and give some service and help rebuild a community. Help clean up, the mess that was left behind. So that's really good relations that that those two programs have. So that'd be kind of cool. Do you know anything about the shootings? Like, I don't know, like, if you, like, this thing could, like, turn into a sports documentary, because, like, literally, like, the only things that I know of sports about this are, one, Nick Saban was a freshman. Two, there was a, like, they used the victory bell for some reason during the shootings, and they used the victory bell to signal that our Golden Flashes won. And that's all I know about it.
Well, didn't they have Jack Lambert too?
In 70? I don't know. Probably.
Well, I mean, you could possibly tie that in. Did they have Saban?
Yeah, he was a freshman.
Okay, so, I mean, you could tie that in a little bit. Definitely the tornado aspect from Tuscaloosa, but I don't remember much about the Kent State shootings. I really never learned about them. I heard about them, but
let's see. There's an article in USA Today about former Kent State players talking about the shooting, which is probably just Nick Saban. But another one that is most certainly football related is the point shaving scandal in Toledo.
Okay.
Remember with what's his name, Scooter, that one running back, Scooter McDougal.
I don't remember that at all. I can't recall it.
It was in the 2000s, but that's a big thing with the football and basketball players at Toledo. So that would be an interesting one. I don't really know that, too much about.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'd like to know a lot more about that. But most of all, one that has to be a documentary, because there have been feature stories written about this on ESPN. New York Times put out a feature story about it when it happened. But it was when Rufus beat up Brutus.
Oh.
I think that would be,
I feel like that one would be the best.
That would be so much fun to watch, because, seriously, this guy has planned this his whole time as Rufus. Like, he didn't, like, the way I remember it, he didn't really truly want to be a mascot. Like, that just kind of wasn't his thing. But he knew that if he became Rufus, he would go to Columbus and he would beat up Brutus.
Beat up Brutus, wow.
Mm-hmm. And he did. Like, he went through every practice and whatever goes along with being a mascot. He chose that lifestyle for that moment. And it's one of the greatest moments.
Props to his dedication.
Seriously. And the best part, though, the best part is that the guy that dressed up as Brutus will not reveal his name because he loves and honors his mascot identity so much. Like, he loves that privacy and that lifestyle so much that he wants to honor that just to, you know, not come out and say, yeah, that asshole punched me while I was wearing this stupid uniform.
It's a good way to put it.
And I just think that's absolutely phenomenal, just what the guy had, the lifestyle that the guy had, you know, just, like, he just hated Ohio State so much. That is, like, the most dedication. That's too much. And I would like to see a visual form of that. I just, and, like, the video doesn't get old.
I can imagine him sitting in the 30 for 30 with blackface. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know how they blackface the guy out? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And, well, like, one of my favorite parts and one of my favorite things in the world is whenever Matt Hinton, the guy that used to write for Grantland.
Yep.
Whenever he tweets, like, you just get to see that image.
Because his avatar is Brutus Dackler.
Yeah, and that's one of the small wins of the internet. And punch in the face.
I would love to watch that one. And it was an iconic moment in the Mac.
Yeah, like, most certainly. Like, of all...
It was viral before things went viral.
And he did that, like, at Columbus. That's the best part.
Yeah, that's ballsy as hell.
That's not the best part, but, like, it's so, oh my god, like, he did that on their territory. Like, he just got booed by thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Like, oh man, and, like, the fallout's kind of funny, but, man, that would just be super, super cool.
Agreed.
I think we're gonna close up shop and call today so I can edit this thing, but we, like always, I've forgotten before, but I will not forget ever again, to do plugs, because people want to know what's going on with our lives and what we like and what we don't like. So, Brandon, what do you have to plug in today?
Oh, man. I'll plug the Tigers real quick. They've been a fun roller coaster to watch while I've been living in Detroit. Sports talk radio is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of their games Friday, and they got blown out by the Indians.
Yes, yeah, but, I hate that.
Yeah, but the fans are all right. It was a fun time. But
was that the Western day where they had
No, I didn't end up going to that game, but they won that day. It was the first game of the Indians where Zimmerman gave up mm-hmm. 7 runs, and then Pelfrey comes in and gives up 3 hits over 4 1/3.
Yeah, baseball. Like, literally, like, Pelfrey sucks. What is he doing?
I saw Sussman tweet later the night the pitcher box score, because Pelfrey had more innings than Zimmerman, fewer hits, no earned runs to 7. Tweeted at can't predict ball.
One of my favorite Sussman tweets as of very recent was the day of the Cleveland Cavaliers parade, when millions of people were out in the street and just, like, celebrating and having way too good of a time.
Mm-hmm.
That same day, Cleveland had a home game. I don't know who against. but they tweeted, like, someone tweeted the attendance of, like, 21,000, and Sussman, he commented on that, and he was like, literally a million people out in the streets with nothing else better to do. And, like, you could literally just go up to the front, the box office, and be like, hey, I just want a crappy seat in right field and just go for a few bucks. How and, like, the Indians might win the division, too. So, why are you not there? Like, it's, like, the most fun day in Cleveland history, and you're not...
I was watching PTI today, and... They were interviewing Terry Francona, and they brought up the fact that the Indians haven't lost since the Cavs won the NBA title.
Oh, it's been that many straight already?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, sweeping the Tigers helps, that's for sure. I'm going to plug...
Trade everybody!
I'm going to plug Pearls Before Swine, which is a comic that I've never heard of until very, very recently. And I went to the bookstore with said girlfriend, because we had just watched a Bill Watterson documentary, which is really, really entertaining to watch on Netflix. Literally anything like Bill Watterson and Calvin and Hobbes related, whatever. But Pearls Before Swine's a pretty cool comic by Stephen Pastis. I hate, like, names like that with a PH, because, like, sometimes it's like a V sound anyways, or I'm just too wary, and just maybe it could be a V, but I'll also include the PHF. So Pastis, he's the author of it, and I've been reading, so she bought me a book of it with a collection of strips. It's pretty entertaining. Good stuff. It's got some really, really dumb puns in there. Like they go way too far out of their way to make a really terrible pun. Like, there's one where the pun was about a Madonna song, and the line in it is "Dunk rye for me, Arch and Tina." Which, like, I'm not going to give you the context. It doesn't even matter. But, yeah, the song is "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina." And there's another one where instead of saying "a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush," the line they actually said was, actually, I don't even remember. Something in the ham. I don't remember. I really don't remember how it went, but I don't know. But it's pretty entertaining. It's good leisurely reads, so pretty entertaining. I would, if you really just get bored enough, hit up Barnes & Noble's and just read them. Or, I don't know, be a normal person and read them online.
Don't go to the store. Be normal. Read online.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Go to the store and bring your laptop and don't read the book. That's
sense.
A little bit more normal. Yeah, I mean, if you really, really think about it. Again, follow us on Twitter at HustleBell. I'm at ARAlvarado13. Brandon is at BroncoFitz. You can like HustleBelt on Facebook. There's a Facebook page. We, again, have a group. Just type in Tuesday Night Lights Podcast. We will come up, request, and I will add you in. Join other Mac fans as we discuss Mac football things and oddities and links and hoo-ha and this, that, and the other, and whatever words I should be saying with my mouth. And also fill up our hustle bag with questions, even if we don't ask them now or later. Doesn't mean we won't eventually. We appreciate the feedback. If you have any more to say, email us at hustlebeltblog@gmail.com. Again, I'm Alex. That's Brandon. Say bye, Brandon.
Bye. Goodbye, everyone. Until next time. Enjoy New York, Alex.
Hey, thanks. You enjoy Southfield.
Oh, I do every day. It's lovely.
And really, everybody have a safe and fantastic holiday weekend.